This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money is presented by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, America's number one nicotine pouch. You can find out more at Zyn.com. We welcome you back. And this is a pretty special day. We've got plenty of betting to get to, including with Josh Applebaum, VSiN betting analyst. The podcast is All Systems Go. Make sure you download it wherever you get your podcasts. Josh_insights on Twitter. So we're going to talk to Josh about sports betting. He's got plays for you, plenty of them. We're going to have Matt Larkin from the Daily Faceoff talking about the hockey tonight. John Bowman talking about the college baseball. Brennan White from Behind the Book at DraftKings. And Aaron Halterman with a ton, the plus money prince. But today's a special day because Josh Applebaum, my good friend, is back from his African safari. He and his beautiful wife, Elise, and his brother-in-law went on a once-in-a-lifetime trip. We welcome in Josh on the Progressive Guest Line. A once-in-a-lifetime trip, and it's great that you're back safe and sound to Africa on a safari. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Patrick. Dustin, I missed you guys. It's been a couple weeks, but first off, that's my rookie bio photo. When you threw up list of people appearing today, look at me now, Patrick. I got the full beard. I went full Bushman while I was there. I'm going to answer any questions you may have about Africa, but my goal in this first segment before we get to the sweats today is to convince everyone to make it a priority in your life to get to Africa. It is the most amazing place on earth. We've all seen National Geographic. We've seen The Lion King. But Patrick, when you are out there in the bush, you're being driven by a local guide from the Maasai tribe, which we hung out with our guy, Tom. And you are just looking at, in the middle of nowhere, nature at its finest, a pride of lions, a tower of giraffe, Patrick. Did you know that a group of giraffe is called a tower? A crash of rhinos. That's what we call a group of rhinos, but elephants in the flesh, in front of you, walking right by you. The crazy thing to me, Patrick, I went to Africa once before when I studied abroad, when I was in college. I was in Namibia. Amazing. Kenya, you get the same vibe when you're out there. All the little things in life that worry you, that you stress about, the trolls on Twitter, things that annoy you during your day, they all drift away. You become one with nature. It's the greatest feeling in the world. So if you get a chance, Patrick, and my goal is to get you out there one day, and Dustin can be our guide, but it is the greatest place in the world. It's incredible. It's amazing. The wildlife, the people are super generous and super awesome. You live life like there's no clocks. There's no time. It's the greatest feeling in the world. I miss it, Patrick, although I can't complain. I'm back to betting, which is my true passion.
Yeah, and what we're going to do just for a few minutes here, we're going to show some pictures. We've already started. We're going to show some pictures as we ask Josh, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, an African safari. We're going to show some of the pictures, and we have some videos while Josh is talking about his experience in Africa. But already, we've shown just a couple. You guys can flash them as we go here. I mean, right there, we've got a rhino. What is that behind you? Is that a big elephant right behind you? I was going to say rhino. Obviously, it's a big elephant. Josh standing in the middle of Africa with an elephant behind him. My bad.
Yeah, no, it's cool, Patrick. But this is not just any elephant. This is the most famous elephant in all of Africa, I would venture to say, because this is what we call a big tusker, Patrick. So sadly, unfortunately, a lot of the amazing wildlife has been poached throughout the years. The good thing about Kenya is they do a really good job of protecting their wildlife. They really pride themselves on keeping it alive so ecotourism can bring in money. But this guy right here, his name is Craig. He's about 60 years old, Patrick, and this is the most famous elephant in all of Kenya because he's one of only 10 big tuskers left on the planet. Like when you look at an elephant, you know, you see the ivory, you see the tusks. This guy's tusks were so big, they basically hang off the ground. And tusks are super important because the elephants use them to dig for water. They break down trees. They basically help all the ecosystem. But this guy is super famous because those tusks that you see, Patrick, there's only 10 of these guys left on Earth. So as you can see, we're with our group of people here, people from all over the country, all over the world. Like we were one of the few Americans here. I was hanging with a French guy, people from all over the world. But we were basically tracking this guy, Craig. It gets a little scary because the border of Kenya is with Tanzania. Tanzania doesn't pride their wildlife too much. They allow some trophy hunting. Sometimes these elephants get poached. So you always cross your fingers when they go to Tanzania. Hopefully they come back alive. But this guy is like, you know, his gene pool, basically, with that big tusker. There's only so few of these left on Earth. He's a famous celebrity. We got out of the car, Patrick. He's walking toward me. The native tribesmen are like, hey, you can go up a foot. And then they'll grab you by the shoulder and say, all right, come here. Like, he can crush me, Patrick, with one swing of his trunk, with one footprint, basically. But he's a gentle giant. I cannot describe to you, even the video doesn't do it justice. You see it against a truck. The guy, he's obviously huge, but the size, the smell, the overall being next to an elephant that big, once in a lifetime, greatest feeling in the world. And I was able to survive. Craig took it easy on me, so that was good too.
It's majestic. I'm being straight up with you. Even seeing the video, I'm getting a little emotional because it's so incredible. Just a majestic animal. I am curious. You said he's 60 plus years old, and you mentioned the potential poaching. And how has he avoided any pitfalls along the way?
So basically luck, Patrick, a lot of luck, a lot of good, instincts here. But the cool thing, I guess, is that since there's so few of these animals left, they're basically guarded 24/7. So the Maasai tribesmen, who are the local tribesmen, everyone wants to see Craig. If you go to Kenya, I mean, this he's bigger than Elvis, basically, Patrick. He's bigger than Taylor Swift. So people want to see Craig. So basically he has a group of armed guards around him pretty much 24/7. And wow. Basically, you know, this is a huge moneymaker for Kenya because people want to see Craig. But just the majesty of seeing him in real life, everything pales in comparison. He was just incredible. I wish you could have seen it, man.
That is wonderful. Craig. I like the fact that he's named Craig. it's such a classic name. And we've got a picture of Josh standing in front of Craig there. Let's keep it rolling and keep talking about it. The lions, I'm sure, and rhinos go through the experiences of tracking those two. There's a beautiful picture of the lion. My gosh.
Unbelievable, Patrick. So this actually was in Nairobi National Park. So when you fly into Kenya, you go into Nairobi. It's kind of surreal. It's almost like you're an episode of Westworld because this national park, it's surrounded by like skyscrapers in the city of Nairobi. So you kind of get this weird feeling of like, I got one foot, you know, a million years ago, and I got another foot in modern day. But this was incredible. We didn't even have to find this guy. We take game drives when we're out there, Patrick. So basically at 6 a.m. and at around 5 p.m., you have a game drive, which just means you get into a big Land Cruiser with no doors. You see what you can find. Your guide brings you to the animals. But this lion here, he was just hanging out. So he was just chilling, beautiful. Went right by our car. Elise, literally, I've never seen her scared in my life, Patrick. She literally did the gasp and like leaned back into the car. I'm like, it's okay. Like, you know, they're used to this. But seeing him in the flesh, we also had a really incredible experience later in the trip when we were in Old Pagetta Conservancy, where we did a night drive and we found a pride of lions. There's like, this is it right here. Dustin, you're good as a producer, man. I was going to say, throw it to this one.
Look at that.
This was insane, Patrick, because we took a night game drive and we saw a huge herd of Cape buffalo, which are basically like massive, like cows. Basically, there was a Cape buffalo who just gave birth and the baby was about a day old. There was a pack of hyenas who were tracking this Cape buffalo trying to eat the baby. And we're telling our driver, like, you know, shoo away the hyenas. We're rooting for the baby to survive. All of a sudden, as we're staring at the hyenas, the pride, the king of Africa, comes in out of nowhere, scares off the hyenas. Sadly, Patrick, the king ate the baby Cape buffalo. But it was literally, you want action, like when you're sweating a game? This was action. We had Cape buffalo, hyena, lion. It was all happening at once.
So that lion came in to scare off the hyenas because he wanted the prize. And did you guys actually, I hate to even ask this because I'm weird about animals. Did you actually see the lion attack?
So we didn't see it attack, Patrick. Our guide was like, hey, do you like, he's seen this movie before. He knows that either the hyenas or the lions are going to get the baby Cape buffalo. And he said, do you want to watch this? Me, Elise, and my brother-in-law, Carrick, we said, we can't stomach this. So we ended up leaving. We wake up the next morning. We see our guide at breakfast. He said, guess what? The lion got the baby buffalo. Oh. So it's the circle of life, Patrick.
Yep, you're right.
You got a soft spot for the baby. He only lived like a few hours, kind of sad.
So may I ask, we're just showing the video. Josh Applebaum, of course, VSiN betting analyst, went to Africa with his wife and brother-in-law, a safari. These pictures are astonishing, and videos. I understand Elise being nervous with the lion. are you warned? Look at this. Let's show the picture. So that's Craig in the background with a bunch of zebra. This is astonishing footage. Do they warn you about the Lions and about making a misstep?
So they kind of just, you know, say at the beginning, Patrick, like, never get out of the car. That's the one rule. Like, never, ever, ever, ever get out of the truck that you're in. But the kind of cool thing, this was amazing too. This was in Amboseli National Park, where literally a herd of, I don't even know, 50 elephants went right by our car. They're super smart. Elephants can remember everything. So these are like 1,000-year-old, basically like trails that they've taken, and they've remembered through time to water holes or different areas where they can find good food. But basically everywhere we went in Kenya was protected. Kenya does a really good job of protecting their wildlife. So all the animals are very used to people. Like the sound of a car doesn't bother them. People being loud, it doesn't faze them whatsoever. So basically they have no issue with people, which is why you can get so close to them. But this one in particular, it's really cool. Like, they'll have the matriarch of the elephant herd at the very back, but at the beginning, they'll have some of like the younger matriarchs. So like this elephant here, he's kind of just checking us out, like sitting in the car. What's the deal? They were as curious about us, Patrick, as we were about them. So just another incredible, experience that we had.
That is,
it was super cool. The trunk almost went into the car, Patrick. It was crazy.
That's unbelievable. Thank you for that, Josh. That's what a great experience. Good for you. That is true. I want to do the lions mess with the elephants?
They can eat baby elephants, Patrick. It's a brutal life out there,
they're too cute. We'll go with the beautiful pictures. We'll come back with Josh.
Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, become a VSiN Pro, 13 months for $199. VSiN.com/subscribe. You get everything we offer. Become part of the family here. Get the picks, get the splits, you get the guides, literally everything. Use the promo code SHARP to unlock the deal. Again, you get a free month for $199. VSiN.com/subscribe. Got you back here. Of course, Dustin Sweetelson, live downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money, presented by Zen. Our good friend and colleague, Josh Applebaum, back from his African safari. VSiN betting analyst. You can read Josh over at VSiN.com. He's brought to you on the Progressive Guest Line. And I encourage you all to check out the podcast, All Systems Go, wherever you download your podcasts. For those that missed it, we just went through Josh's safari with his wife and brother-in-law in Africa. The pictures and videos were stunning, and we appreciate you sharing that with us. For those that want to see more, where can they? Did you post stuff? I'll send them there, and we'll get into the betting.
Yeah, so definitely all the pictures here, or a lot of them are on Twitter. I threw up a few. This is me in my prime, Patrick. This is like me. Like, I felt like I was 21 years old again at the front of a safari truck. But yeah, tons of photos, and check your DMs, guys. I'll send you a few more after the segment.
Beautiful. At Josh_insights, if you want to check them out. I highly encourage you to do so. It's pretty cool. It's not betting related. Maybe my favorite segment I've done here at VSiN. So thank you for that. How about your Boston Celtics? Now, my guess is kind of tough when you're in Africa to keep up on your boy Jason Tatum and the crew, but a 3-0 series lead. Let's get your overview on it.
Yeah, so first off, definitely missed betting a little bit at the beginning, Patrick, but when you're there, you don't really think about, first world stuff like that. But I was a little jealous watching the Celtics, or actually missing the Celtics the first two games while I was there. I want to give a shout out to Bill Adee, who makes it all happen at VSiN, because he mentioned in the newsletter how game one was kind of a fade the trendy dog situation where the public was all over Luka and the points, line moved to the Celtics. That came through. Now, last night had the opposite there. I was on the Mavs last night. Mavs looked pretty sharp to me. They were -1 up to like -2.5 or -3, had a great bet split. didn't come through. I think just the Celtics team of destiny, Patrick. I think they've learned quite a bit from their losses over the last few years. Obviously, Golden State a couple of years ago, Tatum gets injured. Jaylen Brown played great, but came up short. Obviously, the series against the Heat, where they were down 3-0, almost came back. But it seems like it's all coming into place right now. So if we're looking at the next game, Patrick, you're looking at the odds right now. I really can't argue if you want to go Celtics in this one to close it out, because we're starting to see this line move toward Boston. A lot of these games open, or a lot of books open, kind of around a pick 'em. Even saw at one point a -1 Mavs. I'm seeing these lines flip now to -1 Celtics. So it'll probably be a public bet. 65-70% of early bets here are going Boston. But it seems like the Celtics kind of learned not to hang around, let another opponent hang around. Luka, obviously, in foul trouble. Seems to me it's a fait accompli. If you want to play Celtics game four to sweep, I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah. How's it feel as a Celtic fan? Like, this is a team that has gone through a lot. Where do you stand right now with this team? And the Jaylen Brown glow up is fascinating.
Yeah, I'm really happy for Jaylen Brown. I think he's now -280 for the MVP here of the finals, deservedly so. Tatum's gotten a lot of criticism here in the regular Boston media just because his point production is low, but I think Tatum is playing winning basketball. I mean, he's averaging nearly a triple-double. Brown obviously looking here to go to the NBA Finals and win that Finals MVP. But the Celtics, Patrick, it's almost like, someone you've watched grow up over the years, and now they're graduating. They've had their ups and downs. They're always the young team, the scrappy team. Then they were the most talented team. They let you down time and time again. It's kind of great to see it all come to fruition, even though Porzingis probably won't play. It doesn't look like they really need him. So I think the question with the Celtics moving forward, you win the series, you win Banner 18, keep this core together. Tatum's going to need a max contract. You already locked up Jaylen Brown. Derek White's the next big player here you got to lock up. And I would ride this thing as long as it can go.
So maybe a dynasty just getting started with this young Celtics team. And there was a dynasty with your Patriots. And last night, frankly, the Brady thing is getting out of hand. The plastic surgery was on full display last night, but they had I guess he was in the Hall of Fame there at Gillette. Why did they have a ceremony when the Celtics are playing in game 3 of the NBA Finals? I'm genuinely curious.
So it makes no sense, Patrick. I think this is kind of an oversight from the Kraft family and the Patriots. The whole thing is, you knew that the NBA Finals in the schedule and the date, you didn't know the opponents, but you knew the dates of those games pretty much back in October. So the Patriots, they're all about like symmetry and numbers, Patrick. It was 6-12 yesterday because six titles with the Patriots is numbers 12. So that's the reason why they wanted it to be last night, because so you can sell a lot of merch and 6-12 jerseys. I kind of was against it, and I was like, hey, I'm going to watch the Celtics. I'm not going to watch this. But I was waiting for the Celtics game. I put on, and you could only watch it on Patriots.com. Saw the red carpet. I kind of ended up liking it a little bit, Patrick. This was like me back to my glory days, growing up watching Brady, seeing all the old players come out, Willie McGinnis and Vince Wilfork and all the players who have come along the way. Belichick even made an appearance. So it was kind of like, hey, my team's going to be probably pretty bad for quite a while. I'll use this last opportunity to soak up TB12. But I agree, Patrick, kind of TB12 overload. You think he's ready to call his first game, though, on national television? That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, he is. He's an interesting one, to say the least. Well deserved to be in the Hall of Fame there. Okay, let's get to a few plays. Let's talk about that Oilers Panthers game 3. -135 on the Oilers as they trail 0-2 in the series, Josh.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Oil here tonight, Patrick. Got a pretty good system match here. Good line move, good bet split. A lot of angles here to back the Oilers. Hopefully, make this series now make it 2-1. But here's the first thing. Line has moved toward the Oilers. Oilers opened this game around -125, -130. We're now showing them up to around -140-ish. So you have about a 10 or 15 cent steam move in favor of Edmonton. Pretty good bet split as well. VSiN.com bet splits from DraftKings. Only about half the tickets, but nearly 70% of the money is on Edmonton. So kind of goes to show that the public is somewhat split. If you want to take Florida, who looks great with plus money, that looks appealing. But the bigger money here in moving this number is toward Edmonton. Then we get to the system matches. A lot of good historical angles in this spot for Edmonton. First one would be just real basic, Patrick. Favorites off a loss in the playoffs. Your favorite, you're expected to win. Your awful loss, you got to bounce back. Kind of that zigzag theory. Those teams are 22-12, 65% this postseason, 7% ROI. If you look at the last 3 years, it's kind of on the same mark, 66% those postseason favorites off a loss. Then look at the finals in particular. when it comes to the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, it's pretty chalky here. If you look since 2007, a pretty good sample size, finals favorites are 79-30, 73% straight up. That's a 23% ROI. 2-0 so far this finals. Florida was favored both games. They won 7-0 the last 2 years in the finals in terms of favorites. And then this one really blew my mind. If you get to the finals and you're favored and you've lost two straight games, basically you're literally must win. Those teams, Patrick, are 18-2, 90% since 2007. So I'm going to go down with the ship with Dreisaitl and McDavid. You do have Barkov. Some of these other guys banged up a little bit, even though they should play. I laid it with Edmonton, and I lean pretty hard to the under. That's been juiced quite a bit. 5.5 under, minus 120.
Good angles, Josh. Very good stuff. Let's go with your WNBA play next. You've got the Dream and the Fever tonight.
The Dream and the Fever, Patrick. That's right. Caitlin Clark, but I'm not going to play a Caitlin Clark prop. I'm not going to bet on Caitlin Clark. I'm going to bet against her tonight. I'm going to go with the Atlanta Dream on the money line here, Patrick.
Hey.
First thing when it comes to WNBA, really lean on the data because it's becoming a more popular sport. You are seeing the attendance go up, but still it's really your hardcore bettors that bet WNBA. So the first thing I look at is line movement because it's really not dumb money moving a number. It's respected action who know the sport. And this line's going toward the Atlanta Dream. The Dream opened -2. They've been bet up to -2.5, -3. Public's on Caitlin Clark. 60% of bets taking the points with the Fever at home. Yet this line keeps going to the Dream. They have the much better defense. The problem with the Fever is they just give up so many points, 90 points a game allowed, worse than the WNBA. Atlanta's 3-1 on the road. Fever are only 1-4 at home. And then Rhythm, who I work with in terms of promoting the podcast, the All Systems Go Pod. They have a really good data-driven model prediction on the Dream money line tonight. They're expecting the Dream to win by about 5 points. So I'll make it, you know, kind of simple here, not mess around, 1 point win, 2 point win, and not cover. I got the money line with the Atlanta Dream. I have a dream, Patrick. Let's win this game tonight.
You know what? And that's our great, we'll have our pro tip, Dustin, end of the show. But what's great is when you're betting into a smaller market like this, a line move is going to be moved by that respected money. So that's a tremendous tip by you, Josh Applebaum. We've got a baseball play from Josh. What we'll do is we'll send you over to vsin.com/picks to pick up on that. Well, tremendous. I'm going to let you take it out. So again, getting away from social, getting away from the betting, the one lesson with your African safari would be what?
The one lesson would be, I think when you're grinding your day job, and I love sports betting, don't get me wrong, Patrick, but whatever you do, sometimes it's good to take a little bit of a break, go somewhere you've never been before. It puts everything into perspective. What's important in life, the people who are important to you, your health, your family, and then just being in nature and wildlife. It gives you this feeling that really nothing else can top it. When you're in the middle of the bush with Craig, the 20-foot tall elephant walking next to you, all your problems, all your issues, all the little complaints you have in the first world, they all drift away. Get to Africa. It's the greatest place in the world.
What a great half hour from Josh Applebaum. Great to have you back. We'll see you next week at Josh_insights on Twitter.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, VSIN.com. It's brand new, great on the mobile. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, and betting guides. Make sure you bookmark it. It's VSIN.com. Okay, John Bowman. Baseball with Bowman, former Major League Baseball scout, college baseball handicapper as well. I'll say this about John Bowman. He has been such a great part of the team. He's even on the graphic for the family vids, and he's been hot with the baseball, both Major League Baseball and college baseball. You can find John on Twitter at JohnBowman11, and he's brought to you on the Progressive Guest Line. So first off, thank you for being flexible today. It's nice to see you, John. You've got some Major League Baseball plays coming up, but let's start with college baseball. It feels like this year there's more buzz than ever. I think betting probably has a little something to do with it, if we're being completely honest. But why don't we start here? How did we get to where we are in college baseball, and what's coming up starting tomorrow?
Yeah, so thank you guys for having me on, of course. But yeah, the College World Series is coming up starting tomorrow. We've got 8 teams left. We started with 64. We already had regionals, and that was a double elimination, 4 teams in each region bracket. Then the winner of all those regionals played another winner of the regionals, and those are called super regionals. So there were 16 teams in that. They were all 3-game series, best of 3. And all those winners are now making it to Omaha at the College World Series. So there are 8 teams left, and it's double elimination on both sides until we get a winner. And then those 2 winners square off in the College World Series finals and next Saturday.
So, and you mentioned it during the break, of the 8 teams, you feel like this is completely wide open.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this is the first year. I don't want to butcher the exact year, but it's been something crazy like 80 years since we've had only 2 conferences in the College World Series. And it's just ACC and just SEC. 4 SEC teams, 4 ACC teams. So there's not really a Cinderella this year. You know, any team has, well, I will say every team has the talent to do it. They can win. It's just who gets hot right now and, you know, who has some guys pitching and who has some guys hitting. But I legitimately think any team has a chance to win.
Right now, over at DraftKings, as you mentioned, just 2 conferences. You can bet the SEC or ACC to win the College Baseball World Series. 8 teams remain. The SEC is -195, so favored there. ACC +160. Do those odds feel right to you?
I think so. I think they're slightly short on the SEC. The SEC has won, I believe it's 4 of the last 5 College World Series overall. So I think they should be close to maybe 75%, close to an implied line of -300. So there is a little bit of value if you want to go find that. And I know we've talked about it before, but you can find value on, you know, heavy favorites if you think that the implied percentage is way higher. So I know we've talked about that on this show before, whereas some people think that, you know, just finding value is your underdogs, but you can find value on heavy favorites like that too.
No, I love it. And let's start with not necessarily an overly heavy favorite, but it's an 11 a.m. game tomorrow. That's why we had John on today to kind of get you set up for this. And you're going to lay it with North Carolina. It's Virginia and North Carolina, and it's -135 on North Carolina here.
Yep. First game of the College World Series tomorrow, Virginia, North Carolina. I like North Carolina. I think they're the best ACC team left in this tournament. They've got a very good lineup. They've got the superstar in Vance Honeycutt, a very good lineup top to bottom, 1 through 9. They're a little young. Their starting pitching staff, you know, they've got a freshman in there, Jason DeCaro. Shea Sprague is likely going to go tomorrow. I'm not sure if they've announced the starting pitching matchups yet, but it should be Sprague against Evan Blanco. Would be my guess for Virginia. And Virginia, Blanco's a solid starter. Virginia can really hit. They've got a good lineup as well. But I think the difference between these 2 teams is the bullpens. I mean, UNC has a couple guys they can go to, Matt Matisse, Dalton Pence. They have a couple relievers that they can really rely on, whereas Virginia doesn't necessarily have that. They've kind of had just their starters that they're relying on right now and not necessarily that shutdown reliever. So with the margins so thin already in the College World Series and all these teams so good, I think that makes a difference in the bullpen for UNC.
Beautiful. North Carolina, $1.35. John Bowman, Baseball with Bowman, joining us here on Sharp Money. Let's get to Major League Baseball, and you like the Phillies. The Phillies are a monster right now. You got Nola on the bump tonight at Boston, -108 on the Phillies here.
Yeah, so I like the Phillies today. It's Aaron Nola against Tanner Houck. Aaron Nola's pitched 5 straight quality starts. Tanner Houck's pitched 4 straight quality starts. So both these pitchers have been pitching very well overall. Houck actually has a 1.91 ERA on the season, but he's just 6-5. And so what that tells me is the Red Sox aren't giving him much run support, because even if he's pitching this well and the Red Sox aren't scoring a lot of runs, he's coming out of the game and they're being down and they're not coming back in them. So Alec Baum is out for the Phillies. So that is a big worry, but I still think and JT Realmuto was out of the IL a couple days ago. So that's really the worry on the Phillies side, but the Phillies bullpen has been so dominant overall lately. I still think they get this win, and I like the value with them as underdogs.
Okay. Beautiful. Later tonight, you've got the Rangers at the Dodgers. I think you're going run line, lay the 1.5 with Grove and the Dodgers.
Yeah, so I like Dodgers too tonight. Michael Grove, he's it's likely going to be a bullpen game for the Dodgers. My guess is they bring in Yarbrough for the bulk innings. And we know how bad the Rangers have been against lefties this season. They're bottom third in the league against lefties and weighted on base average. The Dodgers have their full bullpen available to come in too. They scored 15 runs a couple nights ago. Yesterday, they got a lot of Rangers bullpen pitching and they just couldn't cash in on it. Michael Lorenzen starting for the Rangers, and he has been pitching solid lately, but the Rangers bullpen hasn't been very good. And I think that's going to come back to bite them. I don't think they'll be able to be that consistent 2 days in a row.
Okay, let's stick with that one. And attacking the bullpen, we'll go to the Rangers. And you've got a player prop here, Corey Seager, over 1.5 total bases.
Yeah, so Corey Seager was red hot. He went on the IL, didn't go on the IL. He got hurt about a week ago and was out of the lineup for a series, I want to say, five games or so. And he was just added back into the lineup yesterday against the Dodgers, his former team. And of course, in one of his at-bats, he hits a 3-run home run, and that ends up being the difference in a 3-2 game. So Corey Seager was red hot before he got hurt. He came back, he hit home run. He's back where he came up with the Dodgers. He's playing against his former team at plus money. I think that's a great look, especially against the Dodgers, who are going with, pretty much a bullpen game today. So he's going to face a lot of different pitchers. Not necessarily good to look at matchup stats for this one, but I think Seager is going to barrel one up and stay hot.
Yeah, I like that Seager play. I'm just taking a look before we say goodbye at the championship odds for the College World Series. So slight favorites, Tennessee plus 290, Texas A&M 3-1 right behind them. And then right behind them, Kentucky at 4-1. Are those the rightful three kind of shorter favorites there?
I think so. So Tennessee is really the only, I guess, complete team, you could say, left in the tournament. Both very good at pitching and very good at hitting. A lot of the other teams, and this isn't usual for this tournament, are mostly hitting. Usually the teams with good pitching make it deep. The problem, Texas A&M, very good team. The only problem is they just had Braden Montgomery, one of their, arguably their best player, get hurt. He broke his ankle in the Super Regional. He's out this entire tournament. Their number two starter, Shane Sadao, he's also out. He left his start in the Super Regionals after about an inning. He's going to be out for the entire College World Series. So Texas A&M is a very good team, and I honestly thought that they would be the best look on that side of the bracket. But they're dealing with some injuries right now that they're going to have to overcome. And then Kentucky's also up there because that side of the bracket that they're on with Texas A&M, Florida, and NC State is more weak. Florida was 28-27 this year. They were the last team to make it in the tournament. NC State's a solid team, but they really don't have much pitching at all. I don't think they're going to be too much of a threat this tournament. So that's why Texas A&M and Kentucky are up there on that side, and Tennessee on the other side, because they're, like I said, probably the only complete team left.
Beautiful. All right. Well, enjoy the baseball. So again, Phillies tonight, Seager over 1.5, Dodgers lay a 1.5, and North Carolina minus $1.35 to kick off the College World Series in Omaha tomorrow. John, you're the best. Appreciate all your effort here. John Bullman, Baseball with Bullman, at John Bullman 11 on Twitter. Appreciate you, John. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me.
As always, thank you for joining. Progressive Guest Line brings you Mr. Bullman. Bullman's been doing a great job for us, big guy. Not just the baseball as far as Major League, but the college baseball. I mean this when I say, and again, you don't want to put too much of an emphasis on the betting, although we are a betting network. The buzz has been legit with this college tournament, and I do think a lot of it has to do with the fact that people are getting on their apps and having some fun, no?
Yeah, and Bullman, by the way, 4-2 over his last six on the show, and also just a member of the family, and that's what matters to us.
Job.
A great member of the family plays. Yeah, no, I've been dead wrong about college baseball. I didn't think people care. Viewership is way up across the board. People care, and it's because you can place a couple bucks on it and watch.
I give all credit to John Bullman. Bullman is carrying the flag for college baseball. Deservedly so. I'm going to back him. He's been hot on the show. We're coming back with another very hot handicapper, and that is Aaron Halterman. Next, Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you sign up to become a VSiN Pro, you can check out the leaderboard, and our next guest is always near the top of the leaderboard. You know, the plus money prince, Aaron Halterman, the big guy as well, Samich. They're always battling. You can sign up right now, 13 months for $199, so you get a free month. VSiN.com/subscribe. Get the picks, get the splits, get the guides, get everything we offer. To unlock the deal, use the promo code SHARP. VSiN.com/subscribe. Dustin Sweetelson, Blue Steel. And no, that's right. They're in Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. We're going to bring in part of the family here, Aaron Halterman. Of course, RacingDudes.com. Dudes Who Bet Sports. Had a long weekend at Saratoga for Belmont Weekend, and that's where we should start. Progressive Guestline, of course, brings you the prince. So we should start there. I'm always attentive, and you had a long weekend in Belmont. We received a lot of text messages, which were absolutely entertaining. And then on Monday, you get back home, say hi to wifey, and ship us a family play because you're on top of it. Nobody works harder than you. But one thing stood out in the video. One thing. You were banged up because that was a long weekend, and your voice had the residuals of somebody that had been tying it on at Saratoga Springs. Is that fair?
It's very fair. I sounded like a lifelong smoker. That's what that's what my wife told me anyway. So yeah, listen, we had the best time, and we maybe had a little bit too good of a time to wheel back on a Monday and have a great video. Even though I want to point out it may not have been my best video, but it was a win at least. So yes, we had that going for us, guys.
And you gave us a Wednesday winner yesterday. Again, he doesn't say Wednesday like the rest of society. He says Wednesday, and you got a winner last night. We used to call it party girl voice, where that we'd be out with the girls, they'd be screaming and partying, and then you wake up the next morning, it's all raspy. I mean, you and my good buddy Jared really tied one on. Tell us about Saratoga.
Oh, dude, it was amazing. It really was. So we went Friday, the day before the Belmont, and that's when things got crazy because there wasn't as many people there. And like, we've been to Saratoga a bunch. We're experienced, so we know where to go to get the drinks the fastest. And then one of our buddies had a wristband where he could go in and get free drinks. So of course, like, he was bringing out four at a time out of this bar and giving them away. So I think from like probably noon to six while we were at the track, we had a drink in our hand the whole time. So yeah, it was crazy. We saw a great performance with Torpedo Anna, who might be the best 3-year-old in the country. She's a female and still might be better than the boys. So we had a great time. We were out late. And then Belmont Day, we were starting to do the same thing, and then it got packed. Like, it was crazy busy at the track because, listen, it was epic. The last five or six races on that card were amazing. So didn't get as drunk Saturday, thankfully, but Friday was an all-timer. It was probably top five all-time, especially for some of us in the group that's not Jared and I, actually. Somebody else we talk about on the show a little bit got one tied on. I won't mention her name, but anyway, it was Friday. It was a great.
Well, I think I know where you're going with that one.
I think he might be talking wifey.
That leads me into this question, because for those that did not catch this, the night you met your wife, there were quite a few drinks had, and you're saying this is one of the drunkest nights of your life. So is this drunker than the night you met your wife?
No. There's spring break drunk, and then there's just racetrack drunk. So it's two different things, right? It's hard to kind of compare the two. I think from a racetrack standpoint, if we're going to break this down Samich style, from a racetrack standpoint, it was top five. But you can't compare a racetrack to spring break. So,
well, Ms. Halterman, you deserve it. Okay, you live with a better. Okay, she deserved to let loose. I don't think there's any doubt there. I'm glad you guys had a great time. And RacingDudes.com had a great weekend, though the Belmont, nobody expected Donk Knock.
I mean, what is going on with these Triple Crown races? You're right. Like, Friday was a great day. Saturday leading up to the Belmont, we're having a big day. And it's like, man, it's all going right. I know we've sucked the last two Triple Crown races, as have many, but I knew we were going to get this one right. Mindframe, Sierra Leone, that's two horses I really needed to win. Felt really good about it. Of course, they run second and third to Dornock, who I wouldn't bet was stolen money. Like, there was 10 horses. He was probably like the eighth choice for me.
and he wins, and that's the story of the whole Triple Crown. Having a really good day, you get to the big one, and it's like, how did that happen? And if you weren't really following it, Dornoch, his last two races, he was nowhere to be found. He wasn't even close. And then he comes in here and he wins. Of course, Mindframe should have won the race. He totally blew it. He takes the lead and then he just takes a hard right turn for what, like 100, 200 yards and loses the race basically. So that sucked. But anyway, it was still good. But yeah, walked out of there just like, I didn't understand this Triple Crown at all this year. It was frustrating.
Well, great job, RacingDudes.com. Unfortunate to throw Heather Halterman under the bus, which is, you don't love to see it from her husband, but we play on. Okay. That's a bad job by you, though. You'd be sleeping on the couch tonight. Tonight, we are on the Cats. However, you're using your reasonable and objectionable brain here. And you said, look, Florida's the better team, but you're not betting them tonight. Why?
Okay, so here's the situation that I'm personally in. I've got a future wager on them to win the Stanley Cup. And so a win tonight means a hell of a lot more to me than just the plus 115 that they currently are. And here's the deal. I have ultimate confidence in the Panthers. I have from the beginning, obviously. But if they're going to lose a game in this series, it's this one, in my opinion. You're going to get everything Edmonton's got. And you watch the first two games. Edmonton actually was the better team in game one. Panthers substantially better in game two. You get to game three. Edmonton has the last change, which means they're going to get the matchups they want. I've just got a feeling this might be one where the Oilers can get the Panthers. I still have full confidence Panthers are going to win the series. And look, if the Panthers do win, I'm still going to be smiling. It means they're going up 3-0. And it basically means they've got this thing in the bag and this future wager on the Panthers is going to cash. So in my situation, I don't really feel like I want to chase that plus money price in the one game where I think it is questionable that the Panthers get this done tonight. So I went with the over 5.5. And the reason why I did it, I just feel like the Oilers have got to open the game up. And I think with getting the last change, getting the matchups they want, the game's going to be a little bit more wide open. But you hedge a little bit, too, because Florida Panthers can win a game and it go over 5.5, right? So you're just banking on the fact it's going to be a little bit more wide open of a game. And also you got, at least this morning, it was plus 105 for that over 5.5. So I kind of went and attacked that game this way. Don't really have to worry about a side, just need the goals to come in.
Yeah, hopefully that lamp is lit. You can get plus 110 on the 5.5. Good reasoning, because you already have in pocket the Panthers for the series. Like it. Okay, let's jump into some baseball. You've been hot, obviously. You're going to lay the 1.5 with the D-backs plus money versus the Angels.
Yeah, and look, if you follow me, you kind of have seen a trend where I will do this with the Angels when certain pitchers are on the mound. And look, when the Angels lose, they usually lose by more than one, and it's usually because their starting pitching is just terrible. And tonight, Griffin Canning on the mound, look, he's not having a great season. He's not all that reliable of a pitcher. He's on the road against Arizona, a team that I've said on the show two or three times now, guys, Arizona's got to start playing better. They're just not doing all that well, and they haven't followed up that great season last year with much here. However, I do think they're going to get to Canning tonight. I do think they're going to get a lot of runs, and I think they can cover. And the biggest thing for me was the plus money price again on this one. I'm not going to lay a 1.5 against the Angels if you're getting like a minus 120 or something like that. I'm not going to do that. But when you can get a plus money price and you can play against, you know, a guy like Sandoval or tonight Griffin Canning, I'm always going to do it, because it just feels like, look, I think Arizona's going to get 5 or 6 runs off the starter. And if they do, this Angels lineup, it's not awful, but it's not great. And I think Arizona will be able to hold them down enough to get the W.
Lay a 1.5 plus 110. Red Sox Phillies under 4.5 first five.
Yeah, and this is just a very logical one here with Nola and Houck on the mound. Nola for Philly should be able to shut down the Red Sox. It's the weirdest thing. Second year in a row, the Red Sox just don't play well at home. And if you've ever been to Fenway, it's like, how can you not play well at Fenway? It's unbelievable, right? But they're 15-19 at home. They really haven't hit a whole lot this year, no matter where they're at. So I think Nola shuts them down. But Houck, on the other hand, for Boston, I think the liability with this bet, you know, Philly's offense is very good, but I think Houck will be able to slow them down enough. Didn't want to play the full game. Didn't want to get the bullpens involved. That's kind of a Samich angle there. But I thought these two starters, five innings, under 4.5, I thought it made a lot of sense.
Well, Dustin, you and I might say Fenway, but Aaron Halterman says Fenway. Listen, go get some electrolytes. Get Heather some Gatorade. It seems like you're feeling better. Is that fair?
Yeah. No, I feel great. Tuesday, about Wednesday, actually, I felt better.
Still handed out winners, even through the fog, like Justify in the Preakness. Give our best to Heather, racingdudes.com, Dudes Who Bet Sports. Let's get some winners. Thank you, Mr. Halterman.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you very much. We've got a couple of surprises on the other side. Plus, we've got our plays and family vid, Sharp Money, presented by Zinn.